Take your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to jump out of Timothy for at least one service today. We're glad everybody's here. Happy resurrection morning to everybody. I think it'd be good if we sung together, brethren, let us, brethren, we have met to worship. You know, we didn't come to church. I often pray, Lord, meet the needs of these people. But in all honesty, if we've just come to worship Him, our needs would get met. And we ought not be so concerned about Him meeting our needs as we've come to worship the King. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then He'll call us home to heaven. At His table we'll sit down. Christ will gird Himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful this morning to be able to call you our Father in heaven because you gave your Son to die on the cross that we could be born again of the Spirit of God and forgiven of our sins and reconciled to you. Made a son, not just a son, but an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for that this morning. Now we pray, Lord, what we sung, that the Holy Ghost would send good manna all around. And God, we have come to worship you today. And I'm asking you, Lord, that nothing in my heart or mind, my spirit or soul, would hinder the work of the Holy Ghost. We pray for the salvation of souls today. We pray that people be saved even this very hour in this building. That somebody would turn from the devil and themselves and from sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that they'd repent of their sin, place their faith and trust that Jesus suffered and bled and died on that cross for them in their place as their substitute, as their sacrifice, that He was buried to take away their sins and rose from the dead on the third day. And God, I tell you, I pray, Lord, that they'll know that anybody that comes to you, you'll in no wise cast them out. Amen. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. God, make them to know that it's free and that you not only will save them, but you'll keep them. You'll give them eternal life. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you do today. I pray, God, keep every marriage in this church house together. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. How many's got their turn there? Say amen. Amen. Go to verse number 12, the great resurrection chapter in the Bible. Lord, help us to preach today. Now, if Christ, verse number 12, now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. In Paul's day, there were people who didn't believe in the resurrection. And in our day, there's people who don't believe in the resurrection.
The New Agers believe in reincarnation. It's not reincarnation, it's resurrection. You ain't coming back as a squirrel or a monkey. Man may act like one, but he ain't one. Amen. We're going to be resurrected. And the reason that the religions of the world deny and reject and fight against resurrection, because resurrection has with it the implication that a man is going to be judged by a high power God. And for that reason, they don't like the idea of that. And let's continue reading verse number 15. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God. In other words, if Christ isn't risen from the dead, and if there's not going to be any resurrection of the dead, we're a bunch of false witnesses. But he said, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now that's important, because that means that not just saved people are going to be resurrected. Everybody's going to be resurrected to meet God. Verse number 23, and he's now going to give the order, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Jesus was the first begotten of the dead with a new glorified body. Afterward, here's the second order, they that are Christ at his coming. That's when the Lord comes for the church, and the dead in Christ are raised first, and then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Verse number 24, then cometh the end. That is the resurrection of the dead lost. You just read it in Sunday school class while we're going to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. So you have Christ the first fruits, then the resurrection of the saved of the church, then you have the resurrection of the dead lost in Revelation chapter 20. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he, Christ, must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Now listen to that, what he said. He is going to put all his enemies under his feet. Amen and amen. I'm serving a winner. I'm serving a king. I'm serving the winner. Verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed. Now think about this. The Christian has many, mankind has enemies. The Christian has specific enemies. I have an adversary, the devil. My flesh is an enemy to me. The world is an enemy. But I have also an enemy called death. And God says that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Think about that. God calls death an enemy. Now let's go to verse 54 and pick it up. Verse 54 of that same chapter. So when this corruptible, that's a dead body, shall have put on incorruption, that's the new glorified body, and this mortal, that's those that are living, shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, which is found in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 5, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of sin is the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58 sums it up and says, now, therefore, because of all these things he wrote in the previous chapter, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, Paul was giving two things there. He was saying, listen, there is a resurrection. If there wasn't no resurrection, this whole thing's a joke. But he's also saying that because there's a resurrection, you're not serving God in vain because there's a resurrection and an accounting day. Now I want you to hold 1 Corinthians 15 and go to Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 8. Revelation chapter 6 is the beginning of the great of the tribulation period. It is when the church has been taken out and the darkest day this earth will ever see is beginning. And the first thing that comes out of the hatch in chapter 6 is the Antichrist as he approaches to be an imitation Jesus to this world. And part of the things that come when he comes is in verse number 8. And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him, which is, remember that in Revelation 19, Jesus Christ is sitting on a white horse. Satan imitates everything that Christ does, but he also is in contrast to everything Christ does. And the contrast here is that he is sitting on a horse, but instead of bringing life, he's bringing death. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus literally is life. If you have, he that, 1 John chapter 5, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Jesus Christ is life itself. He that hath the Son hath life. If you do not have Jesus Christ, you are spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, Satan is coming here in the sixth chapter of Revelation, during the beginning of the tribulation period, and he is personified as something. I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was what? With a what? Capital D. Death is personified in Satan himself. Now, I want to preach on the subject of the last enemy. I want to preach on death this morning. Now, you say, Reggie, this is Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday, and that's not a good subject to preach on. Well, I'll jump off of it at the end. But here's the honest truth. People do not appreciate resurrection unless they understand death. Let me say that again to you. There is no appreciation and admiration for an expectation and joy about resurrection unless a man understands death. Because you see, most human beings live in fantasy world. They do not really honestly consider the fact that they had the sentence of death in their body by the sin of Adam passed to them, and that the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Now, you say, Reggie, people know they're going to die. I know that. But they do not live like they know they're going to die. And they do not prepare for eternity in the reality of knowing that they're going to face God at a resurrection. Amen. I had a man one time, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to meet him again. I'm praying God keep him alive until I can meet him again and talk to him. But standing in the sale barn door up here one day, he told me, don't you start talking to me about that. He said, I'm going 6 foot under, and that's the end of it. And I said, that is not the end of it. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Resurrection never really means much to a person until they've thought about death. Resurrection does not appeal much to a man who loves sin. A man who rejects God and rejects Jesus Christ does not have much appeal toward a resurrection. In fact, secretly, he hopes and wishes that the Bible's all a lie. And he's praying in his own mind that there is no resurrection and that the grave is the end of it. But the Bible clearly teaches us, and nature itself teaches us, that there is a resurrection. A man who doesn't, the resurrection doesn't appeal to a man. And it doesn't relish the idea of having to stand in the judgment of a holy God if he does not serve the Lord. Now in the Bible there are three resurrections spoken of in a large sense. Number one, there's a national resurrection of Israel. And you're now living in the actually seeing it happen in front of us. God teaches us that in Hosea chapter 6, that the nation of Israel, which was buried in the nations of the world during the dispersion, after their rejection of Christ, in the latter days will be regathered again into their nation, and he compares it to a national resurrection of a nation. And you and I have lived to see that in 1948, May 14th, Israel was born again as a nation among the nations. And God, even to this very time, is regathering the Jewish people, and we are seeing the fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 37 and chapter 38 in the national resurrection of the nation of Israel. The second resurrection that the Bible speaks about, and God help us to pay attention here this morning, is that there is a spiritual resurrection. A spiritual resurrection spoken of in our Sunday school class. When Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that ye that were dead in trespasses and in sins, hath he quickened. In other words, he's made alive. And what happens when a man gets saved? He literally is resurrected spiritually. He was dead toward God, separated from God. And when God saves a man, gives him a new birth, he's born into the family of God, resurrected unto new life, and that is a spiritual resurrection. And if you've ever been saved, you know what I'm talking about. And if you do, say amen this morning. Amen. You've been resurrected by the Spirit of God, born again of the Spirit of God, a new creature, a new man inside you, born of the Spirit of God. You know what I'm talking about. John chapter 5 and verse number 24 says that this new birth, this spiritual resurrection will cause you to pass from death unto life. And I'm telling you, I'm glad for that spiritual resurrection that occurs when a man gets saved. But there's a third resurrection the Bible speaks of, and it is a physical resurrection. It is spoken of in the chapter that we just read. It is spoken of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It is spoken of in John chapter 5. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn there with me to John chapter 5 and verse number 28 this morning. I want you to mark this verse in your Bible, and I want you to make it, put it in the shirt pocket of your soul, and keep it as a passage of Scripture to build your faith. John chapter 5 and verse number 28. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Marvel not at this. In other words, don't get shocked. Don't be surprised. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall do something. What? Here's voice. Can you imagine with me this morning? Now listen to me. I've been preaching 27, 28 years, and I've done a fair number of funerals. And I'll tell you what, I've preached in front of many a casket, and I've stood by the head of many a casket, while loved ones went by and said their last goodbyes on this side of eternity to a person that they knew and loved. I've stood at the graveside where they placed that casket there on those rollers, watched those pallbearers carry them up and roll them up there. And I've stood there and said the last words and read the last scripture and watch them take flowers off the top of that casket. And I've watched people, and I've watched little kids. You know kids are honest. You know what I watch kids do? Kids will walk up to that casket, and they may get that flower that somebody told them to go get, but you know what they'll do? They'll look down in that ground. A kid will do just like this. He'll stand by that casket, and he'll look down in that ground. And he'll look 6 feet down, and he sees a vault in which that casket, in which that body is lying. And that casket, it body's in that casket, the casket goes inside the vault, and the vault is Lord. And you know, we're such fantasizers and such deniers of death that we will not often even stay around to see him lower down 6 feet. Because it is distasteful, and it's something we don't want to really face. It would do you good to stick around till they lower the whole shebang down the ground, until they start putting the dirt on top of that body, and still they put it would do you good to get real about death. The Bible said it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. I'm here to tell you this morning that every person in this building today, if you stick around long enough, you'll walk by my casket someday, and Reggie Kelly, who once breathed and pleased and fired brimstone, will be laying there dead in the casket. My body will be in a casket, and I'll no longer move, breathe, see, hear. I'll be in a casket, Brother Bill, and they'll put me 6 feet under. And by the way, don't you dare burn me up. Don't you cremate me, amen. I want to be buried. Like the Bible said, and by the way, you can get burned up, but that ain't going to keep God from raising you up. But I tell you, cremation is nothing more than a heathen attempt to escape resurrection and the judgment of Almighty God. Now, I want to tell you something now before you get down the mouth. Christian people ought to have a good attitude about death, because death escorts us to glory, amen. You see, God takes that which Satan meant for evil and turns it in for our good, and it is by the door of death that I'm heading to glory after a while. So death, the Apostle Paul said, to die is to gain. So we have these things. He said there, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Can you imagine? That dead body laying in that grave, hearing something. And they shall do something. They're not just going to hear something. Look at verse 29. They shall come forth. Woo! Now we're talking about the difference between God and all them fakes. Now we're talking about the real God. God, you see, the God that spoke this world, you know why the evolutionists don't like Genesis 1-1? Because if God, at the Bible, can literally speak it into existence, it ain't no big problem for Him to speak it and you come out of the grave. Don't ever underestimate the power of the spoken word of God. The Bible said they're going to come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now there's two resurrections there. Just like in 1 Corinthians 15, there is a resurrection unto life, and there's a resurrection unto damnation. I want to ask you this morning this question right now. If you were to die right now, what resurrection are you headed to? The resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation? And brother, you're headed to one of them. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. You're either going to be in the resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation. Now, I'm going to ask you a serious question. Have you really ever been born again of the Spirit of God here today? Have you really, honestly been saved? New life in Jesus Christ imparted to you by faith. Does the Spirit of God bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? I did not ask you, have you ever made a trip to the altar? I did not ask you if you've been baptized. I asked you, have you been saved? Have you been born again? And please listen to me this morning, I love you. Do not allow your own pride to trap you into hell. The best thing that ever happened to you, if you get honest in your soul and say, you know, the truth about me is, my real problem is, not this and not that. My problem is, I've never been saved. Amen. I wouldn't go to hell over any preacher. If that's what it is, if I'm in your way of getting saved, I'll go out and stand in the ball field while you get saved. Just test it. Reggie, I'm getting saved. Would you please leave? I'll do it. Amen. It ain't worth it, friend. It's not worth it letting your pride trap you into a belief or denying the fact that you're lost. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, listen, there's going to be a resurrection. And every one of us is going to be in it. And every one of us is going to face God. In Revelation chapter 20, it tells us, and the dead were, the death and hell gave up the dead which were in them. God calls it, said the sea gave up the dead which were in them. Death. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Take your Bible, run back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 17. God told Adam and Eve, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The first lie that Satan ever told was, God's a liar. The first thing he ever did was tell you that you can't trust God's word. He told Eve, you should not surely die. And he questioned God's word. Now listen to me this morning. He first questioned and then he made a blatant statement. Go to Genesis chapter 3 verse 19. This is after they had sinned, Adam and Eve sinned, and death came in. God, putting the curse upon them, said in verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt thou return. We're going back to the dust because of sin. In Genesis chapter 5, look at Genesis chapter 5. Look at this. Here is a genealogy of all the early humanity. And in chapter 5, verse number 5, it says, all the days of Adam were lived 930 years and what? Look down to verse number 8. Seth, 912 years and what? Look at verse number 11. All the days of Enos were 905 years and what? Number 14. And the days of Canaan were 900 years and 10. And he what? He died. Number 17. Mahalalel were 890 and 5 years. And he what? He died. You get down to verse 20, and the days of Jared were 962 years of what? And he died. In verse number 20, verse number 27, it says there, and the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Folks, listen, I wouldn't be a good pastor to you people if I didn't tell you, you're going to die. Amen. You need to prepare to meet your God. Amen. I'm not going to be up behind this pulpit forever. The Lord Jesus comes, or I do or die. And that's one thing God's honest about. The world just wants you to live as if you were never going to die and never going to face judgment. Amen. That's why people are just living out here in sin and don't give a flip what God thinks, because they really won't come to grips with this fact about death. Now it says in Genesis chapter 7, if you get up here in Genesis chapter 7, the flood came. What's the Bible say about all of them that were outside the ark? They died. In fact, if it is, if you go to the last chapter in the book of Genesis, did you know what you find the last words in the book of Genesis is? Oh, Joseph was put in a coffin. Said it. So Joseph died and was put in a coffin in Egypt. You know what God's trying to get across to us? You're going to die. He said, I come to church to be cheered up today. Well, get saved. You'll be happy. You can get all cheered up if you're right with God. Amen?
Amen.
Death doesn't have the sting in it for the child of God.
Amen.
I'm saying to you here today, but if you're here today and you're lost, you ought to be fearing and trembling right now. I mean, do that. He's ought to be going up your back because you're headed to a resurrection with a damnation to hell. And I'm saying this to you this morning. Jesus teaches us that men die and God's honest with us. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. The last word in the Old Testament was the word curse. And that's what happened when man sinned, was the curse came upon him and the curse of death. The curse of death is upon all men. And when you get into Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, God summarizes it up through the Apostle Paul saying, wherefore, if by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for the all sin. I want to tell you something this morning. Death is our enemy. Death is our enemy. Death was born our enemy. Death is the child of our adversary, the devil. Death is the offspring of man's worst foe, sin. It's interesting that God does not remove man's responsibility for sin, even though Satan was the one who tempted Eve. Now you listen to me, this morning, something to be learned about that. That you are personally responsible to God. It doesn't make any difference what Satan's done or some people's done or your mom and daddy's done or your children's done or anybody else. You have a personal responsibility toward God. Death is an enemy and an alien to this world. I remind you that God did not create this world with death in it. This is where the evolutionists and the God-haters really get corked up, and this is why they try to twist you. They'll try to make your kids believe that death was before man was ever here. Now, that's what evolution teaches. And that's what all these millions and billions, because you see, they'll say, well, here's these fossils, and these fossils, what? They're dead. They're saying there was life, and that life died. And then somewhere, millions of years later, man came on the scene. That is in direct opposition to the Word of God. The Bible said, for by sin, one man, sin entered into the world, and by sin, death. So you have Adam, sin, death. The whole purpose is to get away from the consequences of sin. That's the whole purpose. Death is an alien to this world. It was not present at creation. It came in as an intruder and is still an intruder in your life today. Death is as a wolf to the flock. Death is as a lion to the herd. Death is a devourer and a destroyer. Death is like a sickle to the flowers. Death does an enemy's work. God said the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death roots up. It tears down. It rips in pieces. It defiles womanhood. It defeats manhood. It darkens our windows. It shakes our pillars. It cracks our foundations. It silences our music. It causes our tongues to quit singing. Our hands from hugging. Death takes the light from our eyes. It takes the smile from our faces. It takes the thoughts from our brains. It turns beauty to corrosion and corruption. It causes laughter to cease. It brings heaviness to replace joy. Death allows no one to escape. Death brings sorrow and sighing. Death brings loneliness and weeping. Death brings the wail of the widow and the moan of the orphan. Death is cruel. Death is merciless. Death is marching to conquer you. The old timers used to say that war is death having a carnival. I stood in the Shiloh National Cemetery this week in southern Tennessee, where the great battle of Shiloh took place in Civil War. And on the plaque there, as I walked in those gates, it said 3,584 men lie buried in this national cemetery, slain in a 2 to 3 day battle. Boys from Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida, all over the United States. Death wasn't very particular about who it took out. I'm telling you, death has no pity for the young, no mercy on the old, no regard for the good. I walked by after I got home, the little tombstone of the child that Karen and I lost in 1991. I stopped and looked down at that little tombstone that says, Baby Kelly, October 1991. And I thought, my God, that child would have been 17, almost 18 years old now. Lord, I wonder what they would have been like. But death took it away. Death doesn't have any pity on you. Death is your enemy. Death comes in the garden of our lives, tramples and stomps and cuts down the flowers of our faith, the lilies of our love, and the roses of our righteousness. Death brings pain and sorrow and loneliness. Death takes your body, deteriorates it, curses it, kills it, and lays it in the ground for food for worms. Arms that were strong are now weak and helpless. Legs that took them on a journey are now gone. Death holds its prey, and if it had its way, it would refuse to release or return them to the arms of a loved one. Death is so destructive, listen to me, death is so destructive that we cry with the patriarchs in the Old Testament, let me bury my dead. I did an auction for a man a couple of years ago who had the awful experience of having found his daddy in his house 6 days after he had died. He said, Reggie, this world don't mean much to me no longer, for I have seen the curse of sin upon the body. He said, my daddy was, all there was a pool of thick oil on the floor of that house. He said, I know we should enjoy the flowers and the sunlight and the green grass, but he said, we better be setting our souls and our sights on a land over yonder. Amen. Because it's like he said, the Apostle Paul said, if in this life we only have hope of Christ, we're of all men most miserable. And I want to tell you something this morning. I don't care what kind of perfume you put on. I don't care how you did your hair. I don't care what kind of makeup you put on. And I don't care how pretty your dress is today. Death is going to reach in one of these days and going to take you out. And I'll tell you what, you're going to go back to the dust of the ground, and you'll be food. Your body that you're right now sitting in that seat with is food for worms. And this is the truth, and you better receive it. Because to reject it is to fool yourself into not preparing for eternity and living a life as if you weren't going to face God.
Right.
It's not a pleasant thing necessarily, but it is a fact. And the facts is not what this world's seeking after these days. It is not a lie. It is the truth. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I may look like I'm, but there's going to come a day, Daddy, when I'm going to be laid in the ground. And that body that I preached with, and that body that I sold with, and that body that I maybe went out and worked with, and that body that I enjoyed doing things, is going to be in the ground, and we'll do it no more. Unless there's a resurrection.
Right. Amen. Right.
Unless there's a resurrection. Bless God, this morning I believe in the resurrection.
Amen.
I'll tell you something I'm happy to tell you this morning about death for the child of God. Paul said to die is gain, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But I'm glad to tell you that someday the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back and He's going to speak. And out of that tomb and out of that vault and 6 feet under, or wherever you may be, if they never find your body, He's going to raise it up, amen, into a new glorified body like Jesus Christ has.
Amen.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.
Amen.
Oh, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, he said, a body fashioned like unto the body of our Savior. And Jesus Christ could go up in the clouds and He could come through the doors. And He had a body. You say, Reggie, He had the scars. But I'm telling you what, He didn't have a cursed body, a sin-cursed body. And the Bible said that sin hath no more dominion. I'm telling you something, we have conquered through Jesus Christ this whole thing of death. You know something, this church has been blessed, hasn't it? We've lost people, but you know, mostly, in all honesty, mostly lost older folks that had lived a good, full life. But you know, death is no respecter of kids, children, middle-aged folks, spouses, right in the prime of your life. Let me tell you something. God can use death to bring revival to a family. God can use death to bring salvation to people. Death is so destructive that the body so rots that the patriarch said, let me bury my dead out of my sight. Death destroys, death destructs, death deteriorates, and death decomposes. The origin of death, as we said, by sin in the garden. The person of death is Satan himself. The results of death is separation from God. The finality of death. I tell you this morning, apart from Jesus Christ's resurrection, you and I don't have a whisper of a hope. You say so long for the last time to that person, because without the resurrection, you ain't never going to see him again. But with the resurrection, you will see them again in Jesus Christ. There's a finality of death. As the tree falleth, so shall it lie. Now listen to me this morning. You die lost, you're lost forever. There's no hope beyond the grave. You say, Reggie, what happens to a man who dies lost? The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, the rich man died and in hell he was buried. And in hell his body was buried, but his spirit and soul was in hell. It said, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. If you're here in this building today and you die without Jesus Christ, that's exactly, you're going to be in hell just to fast make your head swim. I've said, I'm telling you, I don't know how fast that is, but I'm telling you what you talk about. You're laying in that hospital bed, or you're laying in the seat of that car. Amen. And you're taking your last breath and you're lost. I'll tell you, Linda, the story you told us the other night about that man who hit you in the truck. Is it all right if I share part of that? A few years ago, Linda was out delivering a load of hay and turning into a farm road, I guess, or turning into another road or something. And the guy just got out of jail 2 days before. Come over the crest of that hill 120 miles an hour. Drunk. Lindell said, Reggie, I literally thought I'd been hit by an airplane. Throwed that tractor trailer around. Throwed him in the floorboard of that truck. He said, when I come up, and I think the first thing he did is try to take it out of gear. Is that right? And he said, and I got out of that truck. He said, first thing I saw was a wheel and a tire just going down the highway by itself. And I thought, oh, my land. He said, I got out of that truck, and he said, all four corners of that intersection was a piece of that, a door. A door laying in every corner of that intersection. He said, I couldn't find the car, the truck, or whatever it was. And that car had went straight underneath his truck, his trailer, through the deal and down into a pond, and that man was laying down there in the bottom of his car, dead in that pond. You listen to me, that man coming up there 120 miles an hour. This man sitting right over here, highway patrolman. These men that have worked in law enforcement can tell you, listen, death can come so fast you can't even imagine how fast death can come on you. You may be feeling alive and well and healthy today, and I'm telling you, be dead by this time next Sunday morning and in eternity.
Amen.
And your age doesn't have one solitary thing to do with it. I'm talking about the certainty of death. It is appointed. Then there's the separation of death. Physical death separates you from the body and separates the body from the soul and spirit. That's physical death. It is a separate death. The word death means literally separation. You die physically, your body is separated from your soul and spirit. But spiritual death is when you're separated from God forever in eternity. I'm going to tell you something, in hell, in the lake of fire, you can cry and say, God, save me! God will not save you. You're gone.
God, I want one more chance! Lord, let me go back!
And I know you'll do that. You know why I know you'll do that? Because in the book of Luke, chapter 16, it said that rich man said, send my brother to witness, to testify. Said, send Lazarus to testify to my brethren that they don't come to this awful place of torment. He wanted to be able to go back, but he couldn't go back. So send somebody to tell him. Now you listen to me some more. Some of you say, oh, you're just being dramatic. You bet you're at every day when I'm dramatic. Because I'm going to tell you something. What I'm preaching is more real than the Gone with the Wind. What I'm preaching is more real than any movie you've ever seen in your life. And every person in this building is either going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell in the lake of fire, depending on what you've done with Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. If you think for one little squeaking minute that you fool God about who you really are and where you're really at with Jesus Christ, you are an idiot! Wake up! You may deceive yourself, but you never deceive God. And I'm telling you this morning, I know something about God. He won't let you leave this house today without telling you whether you're saved or lost. And can I say to you this morning that if you find right now that there is no peace in your heart, that there is something going on right now, your heart is beating, you're sweating, you're realizing there's something wrong, that God is having mercy upon you and visiting you by the power of the Holy Ghost to bring conviction upon you, to bring you to Christ. And you ought to thank God for that today. It is a separation. But I'm going to finish this message today by telling you this about death. There is a deliverance from death. Take your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Mark this in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse number 9. Had a man in Mississippi told me, he said, Reggie, I've been listening to your CDs a long time. And he said, I want to tell you why I listen to you, because he said, you're not afraid to tell those people, read your Bible, check what I'm preaching. Don't believe it because I tell you, check your Bible about it. Verse number 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which what? Raiseth the dead. Who what? Delivered us from so great a death. And let me tell you, to die without Christ is to die a great death. And Christ hath delivered us from so great a death. He said there, and doth deliver. Can I tell you something? If you'll trust Christ this morning, that God not only will deliver you today, but He'll deliver you tomorrow and next year and take you into eternity. Yes. He doth deliver. Watch this. In whom we trust, that He will yet deliver. He'll deliver you all the way through. Amen. Amen. He delivers you from the penalty of sin, from the practice of sin, and someday delivers from the presence of sin. Deliverance. Then there's the defeat of death. Amen. Death's been whooped. You know, death got whooped when Jesus came up. Amen. Boy, I want to tell you something. Now, ain't no way I can preach that to you. I just got to tell you, Jesus rose from the dead. I can't explain it. I don't understand it, but I believe it. Amen. And I'll tell you something else. I went over there and I checked the tomb out myself. And He ain't there. He's risen. Amen. You can go, listen, nobody in this world has ever found where Christ was. No, listen, there is no birth, there's no place. He's risen. There were over 500 people in the Bible says that saw Him in the 40 days after He was resurrected that are witnesses of His resurrection. But I'm like the old preacher who was shaving his whiskers on an Easter morning. He said he had the radio on, and he said they switched programs on him right while he's in the middle of shaving. He said this old modernistic liberal preacher come on there, and he started talking about that Jesus didn't really raise from the dead, and he got so aggravated he cut himself. And he said, I walked in the kitchen, and I loaded my gun. I said, honey, they're in there lying on the radio saying Jesus didn't raise the dead. Said He's alive. Said He lives. He lives. I know He lives because He lives in my heart. And the song you sing entitled He Lives came from that preacher who cut himself shaving on a Sunday morning listening to an old liberal preacher preaching he wasn't risen with it. And said he got on going down the highway, and he kept telling his wife, honey, I'm telling you, Jesus lives. She said, honey, I believe it. Just tell them folk at church. And he went down to that dead church and he preached, He lives! He lives! He lives! I know He lives! He lives within my heart. And now that song, the old bunch of folks said, listen, preacher, we got it. Amen. Won't you write a song about it? And he did. And he did. And I'm here to tell you, he lives.
Amen.
Oh, you listen to me. Tim, if I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and my pillow, he's there. I'm down in Mississippi preaching. He's there.
Amen.
I go to Israel. He's there. I come to the church. He's there. Listen, when I'm driving in my pickup truck, he's there. When I'm on the back side of my farm, he's there. He lives. Amen. Listen, we've got to get it back into our souls that we serve a risen Savior.
Amen.
The deliverance and the defeat of death. And who is that conqueror of death? None other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, let me tell you what He give you. He'll deliver you from the power and the presence of sin. But I'll tell you what He'll do. I'll tell you what He'll do. He'll give you eternal life. Now, are you listening to me this morning? I'm a gospel preacher. I said I'm a gospel preacher. I preach John 3:16 even. For God so loved the world. That's me and that's you. That whosoever, that He loved, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, to die on that cross in our place. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have something.
Everlasting
life. Boom, diddle-loo, diddle-loo. Listen, I ain't letting that barroom crowd be more happier than I am, amen. I possess Jesus Christ, and Christ is eternal. He said, behold, I'm alive forevermore. And He gives us eternal life. Now you say, Reggie, you mean to tell me that if I would come to Christ today and repent of my sin and believe on Him, that God would give me eternal life? I'm telling you, that's what the Bible said. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Amen. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now somebody says, well, I think the devil might do it. Well, you're trying to tell me the devil can pluck you out of God's hand? That's insanity. Why don't you just worship the devil if you think he's more powerful than God? And I'll tell you something else this morning. Philip, if this kid takes off to Iraq and converts to be a Muslim, you better not do it. We'll hunt you down. If he does everything that you've ever said for him not to do, will there ever come a time when he ain't your boy? Why? He's your son by birth. And until you understand that we're not children of God because we do right, because we don't do right. We're children of God by divine birth.
Amen.
You better get that one down. I'm going to tell you something. If you believe there's another way to be saved, you're believing work salvation and you need to get saved.
Amen.
I'm telling you this morning. I believe this book. I'm going to die trusting the words of this book. By God's grace. And I'm telling you what He'll do. He conquered death. I'll tell you one thing about it. Well, Paul said, he said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. See, God took death and turned it into an escort service to take you in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, I want to tell you something. If I live to be a little older, Brother Frankie, and we're all hanging around here, you know, one by one, the old tree's going to fall.
That's right.
You just picture this as a forest of trees in this building today. And as the years go by, all of a sudden we'll hear a crash. There'll be a tree fall over here. We'll look over here and there'll be a tree fall over here. And brother, I'm going to tell you something. You know what I want to do? I'm going to meet you in glory.
Amen.
And if I beat you guys there, I'm going to tell you what you do. You just come by and say, so long, Reg, but it ain't goodbye. We'll see you after a while.
Amen.
That's what I believe. Amen. I believe this old book this morning. Jesus is a risen Savior. I want to tell you something. If you've got loved ones that have died in Jesus Christ, you can know with a surety that you'll meet them again.
Yes.
I'm looking right back here this morning at a hole in this church, Brother Harold Leckie. I know my Redeemer liveth, and I'll see Him in the latter days.
Amen.
And I know where He's at. Amen.
Right.
And I have never gotten over that old white-headed man sitting right there, Brother Loveless. I've never gotten over him being out of... You stand behind the pulpit for many years as I did and have a man stand with you like he did me. He'll be there with you on Sunday morning in your mind. And I'll see Brother Forrest Loveless on the other side. I can still remember preaching up here in that end of that, when I was preaching up on that deal, look back here and see Brother Smith sitting back here in that little old recliner chair so he could come to church. And I'm going to tell you something. My hope is in Jesus Christ that He raised
from the dead. You know what he does? I think this is funny, but we read the mocking of death. Oh, death, where is your victory? Come on, death, where's your sting? I always think of that story B.R. Lakin told about the two fellas walking down the road. They'd come back from swimming. They're heading on nothing but their overhauls now. Nothing but their overhauls. And no shirt on the overhauls. And one of them reached down to a big old sunflower and he caught himself a bumblebee. And he caught that bumblebee and he pulled the stinger out of it, but he didn't tell his buddy. And he was walking down the road there, Mike, and he reached over to his buddy in his overhauls and he went, "Ha!" Little buzz went, "Nee, nee, 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 nee," and he's got deaf and everywhere. Oh! And he said, "Don't worry, he can't sting you. I took this stinger out of him." And you and I get worried about death. We say, "Oh, my lands, they died, they died. Oh, I'm going to die." No, no, Jesus done took the stinger out of that buzzard. Amen. And I'm telling you something, for the child of God, old John Wesley said about them early day Methodists, he said, "We die well. We die well." And I want people in this church, let's die well. Let's die knowing that Christ will not lie to us. That He'll be there at our bedside. He'll be there. We don't believe that. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." Why? "For Thou art with me." And I'm saying this. I want you to finish up. Go to Revelation 21. I want the pianist to come and the song leader to come. And I want you to think about getting saved here in the next 5 minutes. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4. New heaven, new earth. And you need to look at it. Revelation 21, verse number 4. Please turn your Bible and look at it. "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be" what?
"No more death."
"No more death." I'm going to a place, Brother Larry, and going to be no more death. If you're going to be a mortician in heaven, I'm sorry, you're going to be unemployed. Ain't nobody dying in heaven. I hate to tell you nurses this, but you'll be out of work in heaven. Because ain't nobody sick in heaven, amen. You're going to be out of business up there because there ain't no nurses. There ain't no doctors. If you're going to be a dentist, you're just going to be on the unemployed list because there ain't nobody going to have rotten teeth in heaven. There's the curse of sin no more. Glass business will be out. Amen. I'm telling you, no more crutches. And daddy, you're going to have new knees. My daddy ain't going to walk like that. It bothers me to see my daddy walk. I'm glad he's walking. Eh? I'm just glad he's walking, but I wish he could walk like this instead of like this right here. And I get to thinking. I'll be honest with you, Mom and Daddy. I ain't going to lie to you. You know, I get to thinking about, you're in your 80s. God been good to you. Give you way more than what He promised, you know, that he said. But I know the truth about it is, if time moves on, they're going to pass on. And I'll tell you something, listen to me this morning, I mean this with every ounce of my soul. If I didn't believe I'd see my mom and dad on the other side, I'd quit the ministry today. Because my faith would be in vain. Boy, I want to tell you something this morning. I got the best news in the world for you. You don't have to die and go to hell. But oh, I'm telling you something, listen. The joy of life in Jesus Christ. I got the best news you ever knew. I'm telling you, you can be saved. Now, I want to talk to you real. I don't want no heads bowed, and I don't want no eyes closed. I don't want everybody looking right straight up here at me. We ain't got no games to play with each other. Been around here too long.
That's right.
If you're not saved here today, you don't know for sure you're saved, I'm asking you to do something. I'm asking you to come to grips right now in your heart. Say, "God, I'm a sinner just like You said. And I'm worthy of death just like You said. Eternal separation of God. But Lord, I don't want to die and go to hell. In fact, I want to be reconciled to You. And I'm going to trust Your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. And we're going to stand in just a little bit while the pianists will come. And I'm going to ask you to step out, find you a place to come up here and just kneel down and meet God. And say, "Dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And ask God to save you. There's a young lady down there at the revival this week. She came up after church service is over. Her grandmother come up with her. Girl about, I don't know, 10 or 12 years old. Very, very shy. Her grandmother said, "This girl wants to be saved. Would you care to tell her how to be saved?" And I sat right down here and shared with that girl how Jesus suffered and died for her on the cross. Boy, I said, "Do you want to be saved?" She said, "Oh, yes, I want to be saved." And led her to Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing sweeter than that. You can leave this building, get in your car, and say, "I don't know much, but I know I'm saved today."
Amen.
God don't lie to nobody. And by the way, let me tell you, listen, God don't play games with your soul. God does not play games with your soul. This is not some kind of religious rigmarole here. We're talking about you being saved. All right? Let's bow our heads very briefly. I wonder how many people in this building today say, Pastor Reg, oh, by the grace of God and by the sweet blood of Jesus, I've been saved, been born again in the family of God, a child of God, and by His grace, I have a home in heaven being prepared for me today. Would you slip your hand up high? And would you thank your Savior today for dying on that cross? Would you thank Him for resurrecting from the dead? All right, you may put Him down. I don't know. I can't see it, all that, and ain't trying to hunt anybody out. But I want to ask you this. Are you here today? You say, Reggie, I couldn't raise my hand. And I tell you, I'm concerned about my soul, and I'd appreciate your prayers. Would you at least let the old preacher pray for you? This don't save you, but I'm going to ask you to come. You need grace right now because the devil's going to fight you, and you know it. You say, pray for me. God's dealing with my soul about being saved. Would you slip your hand up right quick? Right quick. Anywhere in this building. Right quick. Hand up. Preacher, pray for me. Preacher, pray for me. I'm going to do something I hardly ever do. I'm going to ask those of you who claim to be saved, but the Spirit of God's dealing with you, and you know there's something wrong in your soul. You know there's something wrong in your soul. I'm going to ask you to be honest. Would you say, Brother Reggie, pray for me. There's not peace in my heart between me and the Lord. I need to get some things taken care of with God this morning. I need to make sure about my salvation. Would you slip your hand up and say, Reggie, pray for me? Reggie, pray for me. Anywhere. I see that hand, and I see that hand. God bless you there. I appreciate your honesty. Is there another hand anywhere? I see that hand. God bless you there. Is there another hand anywhere? Preacher, pray for me. God's dealing with my soul. I don't understand it all, but something's not at peace within my heart. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Is there another hand? And here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand in just a moment. I want you to come just as fast as you... I don't want you to even break a motion. I want you to break and come and do business with God and say, God, if I ain't saved, I'm asking you to save me right now. Save me right now, and I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Let's stand together as the band sings. Lord, we just pray. I pray for these people, Lord, that raise their hands. I'm asking you, God, to give them grace to do what they need to do. Lord, for the freedom that they need right now, for the desire and the power, Lord, to come to Christ. I'm asking you, God, to do it in Jesus' name and Jesus' glory. Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for this good day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for that great day whenever you told Moses to tell the children of Israel to kill a lamb and to take their blood and to sprinkle upon the doorpost and upon the lintel of the house a picture of the cross and a picture of the coming Savior who had died for their sins. God, I pray today that you'll bless this congregation with truth, and with righteousness, and with the love of God. Lord, with the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I pray, God, that as each of us faces death, that we'll not be afraid. Lord, that we'll put ourselves in the hands of Him who hath conquered death. And Lord, I just thank you for the resurrection. It's a good thing to know, Lord, and I appreciate it. God, we just love you today. Thank you so much for who you are to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.